Hello, everybody. This is William Del Pilar. This is Points on the Board. And tonight, we are going to give you some updates and a new story on the transgender issues. Good news and a perplexing story. And then we're going to give you an update on Shannon Sharpe, as we talked about last week. This story has kind of gone under the radar after the big hoopla. I mean, this guy, nope, everybody was talking about him back in April. Now, settlement last week kind of went under the radar, and then his latest news has gone under the radar. Now, he's still a popular figure, but this just didn't make water cooler talk, I guess. And then we'll close the show out with the final whistle. That is our version of the lightning round. We will talk CTE, poker, ESPN racism, and the WNBA and wigs. But before we begin, do not forget to bookmark grumblingsmedia.com and follow us on YouTube, Rumble, Apple, eSpotify under the handle Grumblings Media. And a little bit of a peek. We are starting to gather some gear, some swag for you guys. So stay tuned for that. More on that in a later show. But let's get right down to it, my friends. Let's talk some transgender policies that are fueling institutional clashes. So sports organizations are enforcing strict limits on transgender athletes in women's events, whether they want to or not. So some of these decisions have triggered bans and major eligibility overhauls. However, there are some that are still fighting. We're not going to talk about those today. But the real, well, one of the issues I'm not going to talk about that I do want to bring up to your attention, though, is how the progressive media frames this. They're always framing it by, this raises broader questions about fairness, inclusion, and competitive integrity. It doesn't. It doesn't. I just noticed that in my research the last few weeks, everything's about, this is going to be the end of fairness in sports. Fairness in sports? Boys competing in girls' sports, men competing in women's sports, that's not fair. Enough with that nonsense. Okay, so the first one we're going to talk about, though, there's a school superintendent that's already facing Title IX scrutiny over sex discrimination and transgender-related issues, and she's now looking and will be using taxpayer funds for personal security. This story has happened before. Mixed results, to be quite honest, and I'll tell you a little bit about this one. But the district is embroiled in escalating scandals, and it's intensifying the public backlash. Why? Because all this is taxpayer money, and a lot of it local. Meanwhile, two major international sports federations recently restructured their eligibility rules, limiting participation in women and girls ranking events to biologically female athletes. That's a win for our side. So together, these developments, they're highlighting what some see as rising institutional tensions by progressives, meaning the progressives are the ones saying this is creating rising institutional tensions. In reality, it's just a return to normalcy favored by about 80% of the country. Look, the progressive media is stating there are potential ripple effects, including compromised competitive fairness, strained public resources, and legal challenges across sectors. The only thing true out of that is some are challenging this legally, but I rarely say this, but it's so obvious they are on the wrong side of history. This is no different than Hitler and his white supremacy, Mussolini, his fascism, you know, things of that nature. Meaning it's so blatantly wrong, it's easy to say they're on the wrong side of history. I'm not comparing these events to either one of those two individuals, but I just wanted to create the contrast or how it aligns in something so out there only a moron doesn't see they're on the wrong side of history. The reality is that fairness and protecting women in sports and the use of Title IX properly is coming back. So let's first talk about the Fairfax County Schools Leadership Compensation and perks that this woman seeking bodyguards is all about. So her name is Michelle Reed. She has served as superintendent of Fairfax County Public Schools since 2022. July is when she got the job. Her annual salary went from $380,000 to $424,000 in November of 2023. This is taxpayer money at a school system, public school system. Her annual salary is $424,000. An all Democratic school board gave it to her. And the president doesn't even make that much. And she also receives $12,000 a year in annual car allowance. She's currently serving, or she's currently advertising for, quote, executive protection agent, unquote. And applications were due this week. Now, the role pays about $85,000 to $144,000, depending on the pay scale, private experience, et cetera, et cetera. That's obvious, and that's much higher than the $58,000 starting salary for new teachers. You see what I'm getting at here? She's already earning $425,000. She's not even a teacher. She's just an over-glorified administrator. And the bodyguard is going to cost maybe double of what a teacher starts out at. Now, this job will be safeguarding Reed at school campuses, public events, official travel, and private residence at home. The schedule is described as unpredictable, including evenings, weekends, holidays, and on-call duty. That means if somebody toots near her, she can call them about, I need protection. So the required qualifications include threat assessment, protective intelligence, and executive protection training. Though a bachelor's degree is not required. So internal emails indicate that there's plans to expand the security detail to have up to four full-time staffers for day and night coverage. And that includes 2 weekday shift officers, 1 uniform, 1 plain clothes, with the executive protection agent role remaining as part of the team. Total projected costs were not disclosed. Why? This is going to blow everything out of the water for the taxpayer. Now, here's a justification, which is hogwash, but she says that there are highly publicized tragic events across the country is the reason for intensifying security protocols and justifying personal bodyguard. And no specific threats have been publicly confirmed, but internal sources claim Reed has received credible threats. I call bull on that. The police would have been brought in. And during my research, there was nothing about the police. What happens a lot of times, people, is that individuals like this woman go on a power trip and they just want the protection. It makes them feel VIP-ish. Most of these threats are not credible. Just kids. And what she earns, she can afford her own protection, not the taxpayer. She's not worth it. And she's brought this on herself by going against what 80% of the public wants. And when I say brought on herself, meaning nobody deserves that. But if she did her job, none of this would be happening. Again, no specific threats have been publicly confirmed. But the school says they have received credible threats. Nothing from the police. But because the school says it, the district is prompting to consolidate emergency response systems and expand protective measures. They're trying to say that what they're trying to do is create this perception of, oh, we're in danger from all these evil far-right people. All this violence that we see, that we've seen since 2020, every 99.9% of them are from leftists. That's just a fact. Go look it up. Well, maybe I'm saying 99.9%. But literally, 99.9% are done by leftists. So the district pointed to rising national tensions. You mean like BLM? You mean like some of these school shootings with these transgenders who are leftists? You can't make this stuff up. These credible threats, there's probably been over 400 faux racial hoaxes to show the right as being this vile evil, meaning we're so docile, they got to make crap up. The Cincinnati leftists. The shooter, New York leftists. I'm telling you, this is nothing but a power trip by her. Rising tensions, including school shootings by leftists, threats against public officials. Yeah. Even Kavanaugh couldn't get protection. Look at this woman. Backlash over policies related to transgender students. Now, the part of the reason she wants protection is because of recent federal findings that FCPS violated Title IX protections, meaning they're telling her to do her job. Now she fears for her life. There's a DOJ referral over a transgender locker room dispute, so she fears for her life. This woman has probably mistreated too many people to count. She fears for her life because the DOJ is scrutinizing their DEI policies. They're claiming that, well, you know, security experts state that threats often extend beyond officials to their families and environments. I guarantee you, this woman probably supported the college's intimidating, harassing, and attacking Jewish kids. This woman's just bad news. She's vile, bad news. Now, Fairfax is a big school district, 12th largest in the U.S., and they have faced scrutiny over curriculum choices, contract transparency, budget allocation, and DEI policies. I expect the DOJ and DOE to come after them hard once they hear about this, and they will. There's something about this new Trump administration 2.0. They smell blood in the water, and they go after vile people like this. It's like low-hanging fruit. Now, she's been criticized for covering up scandals, including football recruiting violations, withholding national merit awards, and defying federal Title IX directives. She doesn't want to protect girls. She wants to protect boys beating on girls. Not a good human being. Not a good human being. Now, the U.S. Department of Education's Office for Civil Rights found Fairfax County, along with four other Northern Virginia districts, including the infamous Loudoun County, in violation of Title IX for sex-based discrimination. The district was also referred to the Department of Justice, the DOJ, over that transgender locker room dispute. Now, some of the reactions are great. You know, some of the parents, Queen Reed demands all the luxury suitable to her station. It's all equity for thee, but not for me. Now, there are a couple of morons who defend her, like Kenneth Trump. No, I apologize to you, Mr. Trump. You're not one of those defending him. It was Stephen Brasley, the moron known as Stephen Brasley, the duck with the C known as Stephen Brasley. He defended the move. They always defend it because it's not their money. They're going to create some kind of special budget to give us money. But I guarantee you this will go to court. So an internal source criticized the cost and necessity of the expanded details, stating, quote, to have four people assigned to her full-time, the amount of money is just insane, unquote. Quote, none of us have heard of any threats, unquote. I believe her. I believe that source. If the police have not stepped in to publicly talk about this and legitimate threats, no threats have been legitimized. It's just a power trip. And they're having budget cuts. They're actually cutting teachers. Quote, they're actually cutting teachers and putting their money into things like a personal bodyguard for the superintendent. I wonder if we're going to get the Whitney Houston song. Another source added, quote, I have a lot of friends, teachers and counselors who lost their jobs last year. It's going to be four people assigned to her, and it's just insane. Then we got another moron, another duck with a C, Brian Lambert. And he lies. It's a flat-out lie. He stated that the officers would also support elementary school safety. Bull. You cannot protect her, bodyguard her, and support elementary school safety. You can't do those two things at once. You're either protecting her or you're doing something else. So he's a freaking liar. He is indeed a duck with a C. I'm sure his wife probably is being made love to by a real man. Oh, man. I will keep you up to date on this story because this one's a juicy one. So let's move on to some good news. The World Darts Federation policy changes. I talked about this many months ago when two men, I don't know, you call them transgender women. Translation, biological men. They made it to the championship in the World Female Darts. How times change. The World Darts Federation implemented new eligibility rules effective at the end of July, restricting women and girls ranking tournaments and cups to biologically female players. So these changes followed a member vote on a proposal introduced this last September. So a WDF spokesperson acknowledged the impact, stating, quote, "We understand these changes may be challenging for people who want to compete in darts in the gender in which they are now registered as. Meaning, we understand boys playing in girls' sports gonna be upset." Noah Lynn Van Leeuwen, the first openly transgender darts athlete, is now banned from WDF women's tournaments. And she's restricted to the open category. That's how it should be. Now, other federations she can play in. And she qualified again for the World Darts Championship last year, but lost in the first round to Kevin Doet. And then she says she received death threats and took a break for mental health reasons. Oh, man. So in response to the WDF ban, she posted on Instagram, "This decision does affect me personally, though. Thankfully, not too severely at this point in time, but still, it hurts. Does it hurt as much as a kick to the cojones?" I'm sure she's experienced that. Oh, man. So she called the policy a loss to the trans community in sports, and that breaks my heart. Doesn't break my heart. Doesn't break 80% of the hearts in America. She emphasized that inclusion must not just be on paper, but in practice. You know what? Inclusion means I don't care about inclusion. I care about fairness and equality. And boys and men and women's sports, no sir. Take your male self out with that schlong swinging in between the legs out of there. Oh, man. So she's been prohibited since September when I guess they probably put a freeze on this. Guys, I don't care how bad I sound anymore. This is why I'm angry about this. I'm older now, and you realize when you get older, your best years are your childhood, teenage, young adult, because your responsibility is literally nil. You get to enjoy the world truly as a free spirit without a care in the world. Sure, you got bills and things like that, but eventually you get married, you have kids, you have house payment, car payment, you have, you know, life sets in. And when a child works their tail off, a girl works her tail off, and she gets second, third, or fourth, and fourth, you don't even get on the podium, but second or third, you're one off of the podium. It doesn't matter what changes are made down the road. You'll never get that moment back. And these men and boys don't care. They don't care. So screw them. So there was a PDC World Match Play in Blackpool. Women sports campaigners were removed for protesting Van Leeuwen's participation. Oh, man. Why did they remove them? Because they were protesting that he's a man. So they destroy our side, but when their side protests, got to let them protest. So that's good news. Let those Brits who probably dominate that sport finally get on the right path. Good boy, the UK's lost, but that's completely another story and a different podcast. More good news. We talked about this. The nation did about, I don't know, a few months back. USA fencing, when the girl took a knee, said, I'm not going to fence against you. And then she's the one who got in trouble. Because she wouldn't fence against a man who claimed to be a girl. Transgender, okay. So on July 18th, USA Fencing released an updated transgender and non-binary policy. And it's effective this week. Now, this policy was developed with the U.S. Olympic and Paralympic Committee directive and a federal executive order. So this is kind of an update of another organization aligning with the U.S. Olympic and Paralympic Committee that I talked about last week. So this applies to sanctioned domestic competitions, but does not govern unsanctioned events or non-competitive activities. And it shouldn't. They're not part of this. They don't have to comply. So for domestic competition, women's categories are restricted to athletes of the female sex who meet entry criteria, biological. Men's categories are open to all others, including transgender women, transgender men, non-binary, intersex, and cisgender males. I can live with that. You want to compete with big boys, girls? Knock yourself out, but I know you won't. I know all those transgender men, they're going to be competing against the women. And the one that's mixed gender, that's unisex. Those remain depending on where they're done, whether they're sanctionable or not. So, non-compliance could trigger disciplinary action. But here's a kicker that I still don't like. Now, for the transgenders, they must monitor testosterone levels and secure therapeutic use exemptions from USADA for any hormonal medications. My point with that is you're still a full-grown man. So just because you're taking testosterone, you still got longer arms, male muscle density, and you're still producing testosterone. You're on steroids. You're just keeping it in check temporarily because depending on when that test is done, once that test is done, you can jack it up. These things don't, they're just not one day, these events. But regardless, it's good news. Now, there are some groups that are saying, I don't like that. So the Minnesota, Tim Walz, boy, is that not the epitome of a duck with a C? I mean, his daughter and his wife, boy, they, in fact, I wonder what they got swinging between those legs. Woo! Because they some mean girls. Tim Walz, oh, shit, I'm just not a very smart guy, you know, in regards to when he got busted lying at the VP debate. I mean, it's like, did anybody vet that buffoon? Talking about Tim Walz, a former VP, who actually thinks he's got a political career. Anyway, let's get back to the fencing. So the Minnesota Division of USA Fencing announced it will only sanction mixed gender events because everybody can play in that. You play those as teams, and transgender men and women can play. They criticize the policy as harmful. You know what I call them? Bigots. They're saying it causes pain and confusion in the entire fencing community. Please cause no pain. It reaffirmed their commitment to inclusion because we have the Minnesota Human Rights Act, which means men can beat up on girls because they suck as men, but we want them to be champions as women. Statement, trans and non-binary fencers belong here, and we see you. Do you see that swinging schlong between those legs? Regardless, these cases spotlight a growing demand for accountability in how institutions navigate transgender inclusion per Progressive Media. these cases spotlight a return to normalcy, and the ones that aren't in compliance will get battered down because they've lost every step along the way now. We have taxpayer-funded executive protections now to outright bans in competitive sports, as it should be. Eligibility rules are tightening, and violations are triggering scrutiny. That's what I'm saying. Now, the progressive media is saying the cumulative pressure may force broader legal and competitive reforms, setting precedents that ripple across federation, state law, and Olympic governance. Reality check. The Olympics don't want transgenders playing in there. You're out. 80% of Americans don't want transgenders playing. You're out. All right, let's move on. Let's have another update here. Shannon Sharpe's escalating legal woes prompt ESPN separation. So, Shannon Sharpe, he's officially parted ways with ESPN. And that follows a confidential settlement of a $50 million rape and sexual assault lawsuit by the now retired OnlyFans woman he dated. She's a young chick. So the lawsuit alleged multiple assaults, emotional manipulation, non-consensual recordings during a tumultuous relationship. Old news, we talked about this a week or two ago. Sharpe denied the claims, called it a shakedown, but he ended up paying millions. Some say as high as 10 to 20 million. I don't know. He's only worth 14 million. I mean, hell, I like to be worth 14 million. well, I'll get to it. So, days after this was settled, he was hit with a $20 million defamation lawsuit by Himalta Tillman. Now, Tillman claims Sharpe falsely stated on his Nightcap podcast that her husband divorced her over a viral Usher concert moment, despite her never being married. Tillman alleges the false narrative caused reputational damage, emotional distress, and professional fallout. Gonna be hard to prove that, I think. She had publicly clarified her marital status with Sharpe and co-host Chad Ochocinco Johnson. Chad Johnson allegedly continued to spread the claim. Now, this has gone to a federal court. And with Shannon's track record with women, probably easier for him to pay out than to deal with this in court. Now, and in fact, Sharpe's legal team is reportedly seeking a resolution. Tillman stated, quote, "I'm tired of being the punchline. You better fact check and double check what you're saying. I'm not a public figure," unquote. So again, to recap, you know, he had that $50 million lawsuit back in March or April. He settled it out despite denying the claims. And it was settled and dismissed with prejudice on a few weeks ago. Sharpe did joke about the financial hit on Club Shay Shay and Nightcap, because reports have been stating it may have cost him up to $23 million, significantly eroding his estimated $14 million net worth. Well, ESPN decided to part ways. I thought ESPN would keep him. But when I thought about it, I'll give you my take here in a second. So ESPN officially parted ways with Sharpe just last week, less than 2 weeks after he settled the case. And again, I was surprised, as many were. Sharpe had not appeared on ESPN since April, so it's not like anybody missed him. Now, ESPN declined to comment publicly on his decision. Multiple outlets confirmed the separation was tied to the legal fallout. So here's the real deal. Sharpe has an issue with women. He's had one case before thrown out to resurface. I think he settled that one. He settled this one, has another one. The guy's not nice to women. He treats women as pieces of object, good or bad. I'm not saying it's good or bad. So, look, you can't be a bully to women. And it sounds like he has a very big ego. You know? I mean, you don't accidentally hit play on Instagram to go live. You got to do a couple of steps there. So, and I think that was part of the nonsense, too. They're like, you're a loose cannon. You know, this is today. It's already been a couple in the past. Now you got this one here. We're done. Shay Shay. So, Sharp did say he was at peace with ESPN's decision. Quote, ESPN did what they feel they needed to do, and I'm at peace with that, unquote. What's he going to say? He can't badmouth him. This is something with over time he could go back in a few years. But he was upset at the timing because it overshadowed Sterling, overrated Sharp's Pro Football Hall of Fame induction. I thought Sterling Sharp was a great receiver. I just didn't think it was a Hall of Fame receiver. And the truth of the matter is, Brett Favre made him. He kind of accused Favre, like, you'd be nobody without me. He made some great catches for Favre, but it was Favre. Great quarterbacks make receivers better than what they are, and Sharp was a product of that. So he says that he wishes ESPN could have waited until Monday and after the Hall of Fame induction, blah, blah, blah. So Sharp does have a media career. He used to co-host Undisputed with Skip Bayless. Then he joined ESPN's First Take. Boy, he regrets that, I bet. Yeah, that did not last long. And then he's hosting Club Shay Shay and co-hosts Nightcap with Chad Johnson. And they're distributed by The Volume. And that's going to end this August, if it hasn't ended already. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes. Now, word on the street, but how good the word on the street is, nobody knows. Because some people believe it was Sharp himself stating this to try to get ESPN up the deal. But they were talking about ESPN's close to signing a $100 million podcast deal that would cover all Shay Shay media properties, including Club Shay Shay, Nightcap, Club 520, The Bubba Dub Show, and Humble Buddies, Baddies. I don't believe that deal, but you never say never. Supposedly, that deal is now in jeopardy. No, bro, that deal is over. There's no renewal confirmed with The Volume. He's got to restart, but he's got such a big following, he can generate and be his own brand. I mean, this was blowing up. This was a Joe Rogan-type deal here, and it's just not happening. And so he's going to have to restart, but he'll do well. I mean, so he's not going to get a $100 million deal. I guarantee you he'll make a few million a year. So the Hamalita Tillman suit alleges a falsely claimed on Nightcap. I already went through that. But just, he's got another one. He's got another one. And I think he just does not view women highly. He can sit there and say all he wants and all he respects. But I'm just going by the reports out there. So he could be a good guy. We don't know. You know, sometimes people are casting the wrong light. Boy, but it sure doesn't look good. Now, there is some talk that we could see Ocho Cinco taking Shay Shay's place. He's kind of boring, kind of bland. He's kind of tame. But he could, I don't know. I just don't see, he doesn't have the same energy. Look, whether you like Sharp or not, he had that it factor. He had that it factor. But some people say they may try to slide Chad in. The P Sharp's audience, I don't think nobody cares. People move on quickly in this new world. Yeah, but Sharp he's accumulating legal challenges. And there are and were, and it happened to him, professional consequences. Then you have the unresolved allegations. That's where ESPN is prioritizing their institutional integrity over individual talent. Meaning, we got to look out for us. We got enough bigots and racists over here. We don't need a sexual harasser now on top of that. Oh, man. So these type of events from all these brands out there, you better have a clean house. Because these places, these ESPNs of the world will hold you accountable. Because you're easily replaceable. Look, I'm sorry. As much as people love Sharp, he can easily be replaced. They don't move the needle enough. You know, Stephen A. Smith, for as big as they say he is, doesn't move the needle a lot for ESPN. His show doesn't generate millions of people watching it. Doesn't even generate a million. You know, so they're paying a lot for shows that no longer generate a lot in views or ratings. So something's going to give. It's going to crater if ESPN's $30 a month sports app doesn't take off. Now that they bought the NFL Network, that will happen. And I guess I should mention that. You know, that'll be my first, the final whistle. and I'm going to go off of memory here because it wasn't in my notes, but the NFL, just the ESPN just sold to the NFL net, just sold the NFL network and various properties for a 10% stake in ESPN. And they get like 28 more games. NFL keeps films, the TV sites. And again, they're going to throw 28 more games to ESPN. But the real kicker here that my take is that you're going to see these games on their pay platform. We ain't going to get these games for free. You know, you got that, the Peacock, Paramount. You know, so it's going to cost you probably close to $1,000 if you want to see NFL football, your favorite teams. And, you know, I'm going to do some research on this, but I think it's time we stop paying for their insurance, which I'm guessing is probably hundreds of millions of dollars for Super Bowl insurance. I think all these deals, they can cover it. All right, that's final whistle number one off the top of my head. Okay, so final whistle experts, no immediate CTE diagnosis for Manhattan gunmen. So brain experts are emphasizing, and most of us knew this, that determining if the Manhattan gunman who believed he had CTE from high school football actually suffered from that disease. So we're going to wait to find out, but Shane Tamura, 27-year-old Las Vegas casino worker, nut job, liar, why? He said he played in college in the NFL. He did not. Poor guy was mentally ill. You can be mentally ill, have compassion. He's still a liar. But that was about a decade ago that he had, he played in high school, killed four people, and then killed himself. You know, so they're going to figure this out, that not all individuals with multiple brain injuries develop CTE. So don't make the automatic assumptions. And it's impossible right now to infer a causal link between CTE and violent acts like the shooting. Many with CTE do not commit crimes. And there's multiple factors that are involved. So we'll find out. My take is, look, the shooter was mentally ill in that job, never should have had a gun, never should have been approved for a gun. Leftists are going to exploit his bogus CTE claim. Well, right now it's bogus. So let me take that back. Leftists will exploit his CTE claim to push gun control. And the hardcore ones are going to look to ban the NFL. They've been trying to do that for years, believe it or not. Again, he had no college or pro football background despite stating he did. We've got to push back against this nonsense, conservatives. You know, every time there's an event, God takes their guns, take their guns. Go screw yourselves. Gilbert Arenas arrested on charges of hosting illegal poker games. So he was arrested in Arena. Gilbert Arenas was arrested with a federal indictment for hosting an illegal high-stakes poker game here in Encino, California, right up the road from me. Faces charges including conspiracy to operate an illegal gambling business, operating in... and making false statements to investigators. And this is going back from 2021 to 2022. I remember this came out. So the games, it was run with suspected Israeli organized crime member Yevgeny Giora. This has got to play out. He pled not guilty, released $50,000 bond, has a trial scheduled for September, facing up to 5 years in prison per count. You know, I don't know what to think here. You know, you have online gaming. Bookies are pretty much a done deal now. There's got to be some balance between being able for rich people to play poker. But if he was running a ring, we're going to have to watch this play out. But I'm torn between the legalization because gambling is an addictive hobby, for lack of a better word. So I'm torn. I'm like, I believe in your free right. But gambling addiction does not destroy just you. It destroys your family. Gamblers have lost houses, have found their families on the street with the spouse not realizing what's happening. That's where I disagree with libertarians. But we'll see how this breaks down. So is this overreach? I don't know because they're saying there was a ring involved. So we'll find out. But again, gambling ruins lives through lies and theft. But not every poker night is a crime. ESPN contributor mortified by Sydney Sweeney's controversial jeans ad. Okay, so we all know about Sydney Sweeney's American Eagle jeans, you know, implying she has good jeans. You know, I look at Patrick Mahomes. He's got good jeans. Is that racist? Tom Brady, he's got some good jeans in there. Is that racist? Sydney Sweeney, she's got good jeans. Is that racist? Cassius Clay, he had good jeans. Is that racist? So this is just, you know, faux outrage. But in the ad, Sweeney stated jeans are passed down from parents to offspring. You know, so ESPN contributor David Dennis Jr., who in my opinion is not only a bigot, but he's a full-blown racist. And he happens to be black. I have grown up with both black, white, brown all around. And the first thing I realized that the media lies to people. Yes, you can be a minority and be a racist. Racism is hate. It's taught. And David Dennis, in my opinion, is a racist. He was mortified at the scholars explaining the ad's fascist undertones. The week before, talking about Hulk Hogan, I'll get to that too. But I'm gonna let me tell you the flat out truth here. This isn't journalism. It's legacy activism dressed up as commentary. So look, Dennis got the gig at ESPN because of his father's civil rights legacy. He has no sports expertise. Daddy got him the job. And then what was the other qualification? Because he's black. Look, I'm sorry. Just got to call it like it is. His brand is built on racial grievance. And I go after racism, whether it's white, black, Latino, Asian. Why? Because I saw it all in the military. I saw black racism in Jamaica. I saw Asian racism out within the fleet. I saw white racism with some good old boys. And then I saw us Latinos. Y'all were angry at all of them. You know, man, what the hell's the matter here? So I go after anybody, and Dennis is a big one. His brand is built on racial grievance. His reaction to Sydney Sweeney's ad, and he's invoking eugenics and fascism. Ideological theater. It's not a critique. It's just, he wants attention. Daddy was a big man. He's trying to make it. The guy can't get out of daddy's loins. Meanwhile, Beyonce goes platinum and blonde and no one bats an eye. But by Dennis's own rules, that's cultural appropriation. Dennis isn't about equality. He's about equity and selective outrage. He doesn't challenge power. He manufactures division. Anscape hired a race. They hired a race commentator, not a sports analyst, and a bigot and a racist at that. Now, he wasn't done. The week before, he talked about Hulk Hogan saying that all he'll ever see is a racist because of a racial slur that was leaked in 2015, triggered his WWE firing, lost sponsorships. But the Hulkster came back. Successful lawsuit against Gawker. Hogan apologized publicly, reinstated by WWE. He transformed wrestling, got a lot of apologies from black wrestlers, including The Rock, Booker T. So here's my take. Again, I grew up in a mixed clan, friends and family, all mixed. I've been welcome in both all black groups and all white groups. I've actually had to flee an all black jazz club, ironically thinking of Cincinnati here, because a group of brothers didn't like the Puerto Rican and the girls who were hitting on me. That's right. I said it. They were hitting on me. I didn't hit on them. They didn't care about me until they found out I was Puerto Rican. Then I had like three or four of them. I could add my pick of the litter. Then my friend, who was the brother, who had invited me there, said, "We got to go." I go, "What are you talking about? I'm about to get lucky." And then he pointed at a group. Neither one of us could be lucky here soon. So we had to hightail it out of there. Yeah, and I saw the racism with white guys. Good old boys. Saw it with Asians. They look down on So, I've been accepted into all these groups at one time. I'm an easygoing guy. And they, Hogan made mistakes, but he acknowledged him. He sought forgiveness and was accepted by peers like The Rock again and Booker T again. Hogan helped elevate Booker T and Harlem Heat and gave The Rock key matches. There were never any mistreatment claims ever by any of his peers. And again, what did Dennis Jr. do? He built his career on hate, on racism, on bigotry, not sports. Dennis doesn't challenge power. He manufactures division. All right, let's close it out with a WNBA fan ejected after mocking the player's wig. So during a WNBA game, Phoenix Mercury player Kalia Copper experienced a wig malfunction. Boop, boop. And a fan was ejected. He was laughing at her. I would have been like, it's not a stadium. That whole arena, they were all laughing at her. Yeah. So this was on July 27th. It was a game between the Phoenix Mercury and Washington Mystics. I guess she's an all-star. Kalia Copper's wig fell off the play. She went to... She retreated and ran to the locker room during timeout. It's a crowd laugh. You know? And Mercury officials ejected a fan for persistent mockery of the incident. And it backfired because it went all over social media. Now, I wouldn't show you the video anyway. I'm not going to ridicule poor old Kalia Copper's bald. I don't know if she had bald head. It wasn't a very good video. But this is just another misstep of the WNBA kicking a fan out. I'm telling you. Ejecting fans for mockery, especially over wigs or a viral moment, that risks a free speech lawsuit. No, it's not a public. So here's my kicker. I asked a lawyer about this. He goes, you know, it depends on the judge, the jury. Because I go, look, that's not a private place. Those public funds have been used to build that. You know, and it didn't get too far. But the point that the lawyer made to me was like, you know what? Everything depends on what judge you get and what the case actually is. But I said, well, what about the fan's right to be able to be a fan? He goes, that's where the issue will eventually find its way to court. Eventually, you're going to get a fan thrown out who's going to say enough. He's going to find a lawyer, and they will sue. You know, now they're throwing dildos out there, big green one. You can even make a prop bet on what color the dildo is going to be. Look, the WNBA is still a money loser. $50 million annual deficit last year, $40 to $50 million. And despite the fact that Caitlin Clark's surge. And they hate her. That Dennis Jr. guy, boy, he hates her too. Yeah, why? Just because black NBA players saying, y'all don't like that little white girl running some rings around you. That's why y'all hate her. And that's pretty much the consensus. Clark's gains boost the ratings by 200 to 400%. And without her, it'll drop 60%. They target her racially, but they use her to get equal pay and to get more out of the league if they can. But the bottom line is a wig. Wearing wigs in a pro game, of course it's going to eventually happen. And, of course, it's going to invite ridicule and backlash. Come on, Kalia. Get a damn clue. And there you have it, my friends. That is tonight's episode of Points on the Board, where the intersectionality of politics and sports collide, as they do so corny in the movie. Whatever movie. That's where I first saw it. I'm like, what's that mean? So they said, well, that's just... Anyway, I hope you enjoy the show. You know, transgenderism is going away, so that's some good news. I'll keep following the Virginia storyline with the bodyguard of the woman who earns $425,000, $12,000 travel or car allowance perk. She's going to get four bodyguards. We'll keep up with Shannon Sharpe's career, see how it goes. He's a unique personality. Despite what anybody says, and I hope you enjoy the story. Poor Gilbert, it's not poor Gilbert Arenas, but man, there's a price to pay if you want to play high-stakes poker, and the moron known as, what's his name again, David Dennis Jr., who in my opinion is not only a bigot, but a racist, and come on, WNBA, come on, Kalia. Put some tighter glue on or whatever they use for these wigs. I don't know. Before I go, bookmark grumblingsmedia.com and follow us on YouTube, Rumble, Apple, eSpotify under the handle Grumblings Media. Do not forget to like and share this podcast. I can't survive without your support. So until next time, my friends, I am William Del Pilar, and this is Points on the Board.